could organize. Good morning. Kate, is Paul still pastoring? He is. What church is that?
In Newark.
I have to go down and pay him a visit. Thank you very much. It's literally like a 20-minute sermon today. And I prayed over it. I came into practice last night. And Barb even said, "You're home early." And I prayed over it and tried to get God to expand it. Sorry. And he just didn't. And I was talking to David Jackson outside. Where David goes? Yeah, working with the kids. He snuck out. Look. So I was praying and I said, "I prayed over this and God just wouldn't make it any longer." And David said, "Well, God answered my prayer too then." So thank him for that. So I'm going to wake you guys up. We're going to have a little Christmas quiz here before we start the sermon, that just to make it a little longer, because I like seeing you guys' faces. So this is like group participation, okay? Hey, your teachers are welcome to borrow this. Okay, you guys ready? You guys should know some of these answers. What was the little girl in Frosty the Snowman's name? His best friend. I was surprised when as soon as I say it, you're going to be like, "Oh, that's right." Anybody? Nope. It was Karen. Right now, everybody knows it, right? Okay, in a Charlie Brown Christmas, there's a point for this. How much did Lucy charge for advice?
5 cents.
5 cents, nice. Who narrated How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Boris Karloff narrated How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Boris Karloff, yep, that's who it was. Nice. In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, what happened every time a bell rang? What song did the gang sing to close a Charlie Brown Christmas with the closing credits? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what was the Bumble's favorite food? Remember they were trying to lure him out of the cave and the one elf was doing what? Pork, yep. Okay, you ready? There's a point to this. Name the movie from the quote that I give you. It's a 1-year membership to the Jelly of the Month Club. Christmas Vacation. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. He never got his picture on bubblegum cards, did he? Have you ever seen his picture on a bubblegum card? Charlie Brown Christmas. Ah, I've been kissed by a dog. Lucy, Charlie Brown Christmas. On the 11th day of Christmas, what gift did my true love send? Eleven pipers piping. Nice. Okay, who said it? Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. The Grinch. I never thought it was such a bad little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Who said it? Linus. Good. This fog's as thick as peanut butter. It was in Rudolph. Who said it? Yukon Cornelius, nice. Okay, two more. These are probably surprising. These surprised me. What's the most popular Christmas dinner in Japan? How'd you know that? Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah, did you? They will line up. You know how we used to line up? Well, we used to line up for concert tickets, like you'd line up the night before when the new iPhone comes out. They will line up at KFC on Christmas Eve in the middle of the start morning Christmas Eve so they could get their KFC. What cartoon is watched by millions of people in Sweden on Christmas Eve every year? You're never going to get this. Ready? Donald Duck. For some reason, they love Donald Duck. I don't know. Hey, I didn't write them. Okay. How many of each clean animal did Noah take on the ark? Is it muffled? Is it both of these? Is this one off? This one's off. Can you turn this one on? Maybe that's why. Maybe this one's not. Is that better? How many of each clean animal? Seven. How many didn't know that? How many wise men went to see Jesus? Mike's back here. How many, Evan? 10? Could have been. We don't know. Could have been. The Bible doesn't say. How many people knew that it's not three and the Bible doesn't say that? Point is, we can learn things that we want to learn. See, we knew the answers to Christmas specials and cartoons and things like that, but the things that God wants us to know, we have a hard time remembering. So why is that? How many times, for the older adults in the room, myself included, how many times have we seen a Charlie Brown Christmas? How many times have we seen Rudolph? Okay, it's the same thing with learning the Bible. It's repetition. Okay, the things God wants us to be spending time on and learning are His Word. So I just wanted to do a little experiment to see where we're coming from. So today, if you saw the board out front, we're doing the Black Death, a Christmas message. I was at John and Patty's on Saturday, and one of their, how's Terry related to you guys, Amy? Is Terry? Okay, so Amber's husband's dad, Terry, was there, and we were talking, and he asked me what sermon I was doing Sunday, and I told him, and he said, I'd like to hear that. That might be an interesting sermon, and so, just to see how I tie the Black Death of the Middle Ages in with, I think the kids are coming back in here. Maybe. I saw them all walk by. Lila. Okay.
Why can men memorize all kinds of stupid sports statistics, but they can't remember what their wife said 5 minutes?
Because if we're not watching sports, we got the Hallmark Channel on, and we're not going down that road. Oh. My wife's not in here, is she? I can laugh at that then. Welcome back, gang. Okay, so we're going to do the Black Death. How many of you guys know what the Black Death is? They call it the plague. Kanan just studied it in her classes at home. Here's the thing about the Black Death. There's a lot of things going around about the Black Death that even today, it's all conjecture. It's all guesswork. We don't know. Was it spread by rats? Was it spread by fleas? As is now most commonly believed, was it just spread by humans? We don't know for sure how many were infected or how many people died. The large percentage of experts in such things think it was the bubonic plague. I don't think it was for several reasons. One, it suddenly burst on the scene and then one day it just suddenly disappeared, and disease doesn't do that. They had no cure. It's not like they came up with a shot to give them. Modern research shows that it spread 100 times faster than known outbreaks of bubonic plague. So that tells us it probably wasn't bubonic plague. There was no anecdote, no shot, no medicine, no rhyme or reason as to why some people were infected and some weren't. Rulers of nations died and peasants on the streets died. If you were infected with whatever it was in the Black Plague, your life expectancy was 3 days. An eyewitness account chronicles the breakdown of human civility. You know, we like to think things like, we got it under control. First, a nationwide catastrophe that everything will, you know, the government will take care of us and we have everything figured out. That won't be the way it is. It's never been the way it is. There'll be riots on the street. People will be killing each other for a bottle of water. That's loaf of bread on the shelf. An eyewitness account. In this suffering and misery of our city, the authority of human and divine laws disappeared. For like other men, the ministers and the executors of the laws were all dead or sick or shut up with their families so that no duties were carried out. One citizen avoided another. Hardly any neighbor troubled to check on their neighbors. Relatives never visited each other. Moreover, such terror was struck into the hearts of men and women by this calamity that brother abandoned brother, the uncle his nephew, the sister her brother, and very often the wife her husband. What is even worse and nearly incredible is that fathers and mothers refused to see and tend to their children as if they were not their children. So this is what really happens when society breaks down. The plight of the lower and most of the middle class was even more pitiful to behold. Most of them remained in their houses either through poverty or in hopes of safety and fell sick by the thousands. Since they received no care or attention, almost all of them died. So this is what's going on all across Europe, entire continent. People are absolutely terrified. It reaches across national boundaries, across mighty seas, over mountains, and just kept on spreading. It affected the rich, it affected the poor. Eventually, like is almost always the case, the Jews will be blamed. Entire communities of Jews would be burned at the stake. And still the plague continued. The New York Times wrote, in medieval Europe, Jews were blamed so often and so viciously that it's surprising it's not called the Jewish death instead of the Black Death. During the pandemic's peak, from 1348 to 1351, more than 200 Jewish communities were wiped off the face of the earth. Their inhabitants accused of starting the plague. The entire Jewish populations of Basel, Switzerland, 600 or more, were herded into a building on an island on the Rhine and burned to death. Jews were held responsible for the Black Death that was devastating parts of Europe, ultimately killing an estimated one-third of the population. Now, some estimates are as high as two-thirds of the population died during the Black Plague. And by the way, it happened in 20th century too. After World War I, plague broke out again. This one probably was a bubonic plague, but it killed more people than the entire war did. And there's nothing we could do to stop these things. So you better know God when they come calling. Jews were held responsible for the Black Death, devastating Europe. They were accused by local church leaders of poisoning the water supplies and were tortured to confess. Over 60 large and 150 small Jewish communities were destroyed because of these accusations, including in Cologne, Strasbourg, Worms, and Zurich. A decree of expulsion followed the mass execution. In other words, if you managed somehow to live through the executions, you were ordered to leave the city. But listen, it wasn't just the Jews. People become terrified, and when people become terrified, reason goes out the window. And so that's what happened during the Black Plague here. And people are terrified. If your neighbor caught the disease, you know what they did with them? They burned them and set them on fire so that the disease wouldn't spread. Enemy states, okay, like Germany and France, let's just use this example, would tie infected bodies to catapults and hurl them across the border with their enemies to try to spread the disease. Millions of people would die, and then tens of millions would die. 30 to 60% of the entire population of Europe died in the Black Death. The church was helpless. Doctors were useless. When you got it, you had it. And if you had it, you died. One guy from Florence, Italy, an eyewitness, described it like this. All the citizens did little else except to carry dead bodies to be buried. At every church, they dug deep pits down to the water table. And thus, those who were poor and died during the night were bound up quickly and thrown into the pit. In the morning, when another large number of bodies was found, they were thrown in the pit. They took some earth and shoveled it down on top of them, and later others were placed on top of them, and then another layer of earth, just as one makes lasagna with layers of pasta and cheese. One chronicler, Agno di Turo, relates from his Tuscan Italy home that in many places, great pits were dug and piled deep with the multitudes of the dead. And there were also those who were so sparsely covered, in other words, they ran out of dirt to cover the dead bodies, there were so many of them. They were so sparsely covered with earth that the dogs dragged them forth and devoured their bodies in the city. So this is what's going on during this time. Here's how bad it got. A great Renaissance poet named Petrarch, I never heard of him, but in Florence, Italy, said this. He thought the future generations would not believe what they were writing about. He said, any who has not experienced this abysmal woe will look upon our testimony as a fable. That's how bad it got. Evolution has been credited with the end of the plague. Winter has been offered as the end of the plague. Whatever it was and however many people were killed, it would take Europe 200 years to gain the same population levels that it had before the plague struck. That's how many people were killed. 200 years. The plague began, and it was ruthless. Black Death. It showed no favoritism and no mercy. It spread rapidly, as fast as legs could carry it. There was no escaping the Black Death. If you got it, you had it, and if you had it, you died. Fire awaits the victims. The plague had to be stopped. Yet despite all efforts, it would continue. It most likely began in the Middle East. We know that it began with one person, and then spread to another, and then to another. Yet unlike the Black Plague in Europe, no one seems to care that they have this plague. In fact, some people celebrated it, wore it like a badge of honor. Blackness covered the earth, but no one cared. And then one day, a drop of water fell from the sky. The people who witnessed it were perplexed because water had never done that before. One drop became two, two drops became four. Pretty soon you had a steady rain falling. The drops fell faster. The ground became wet. Puddles formed. Dry, cracked earth now ran in small lines of water, following the contours of the land. The water kept falling. Astonishment turned to fear and fear to absolute dread. Wasn't there some nut job building a boat a couple towns over? The sky darkened. Day became night. Lightning streaked across the heavens. Thunder blocked out all other sound, except one. Ears heard screams, terrified screams, and soon the ears realized that the screams were coming from the mouths of the person hearing it. People panicked, and they rushed to bring in their families and their animals from the fields. The rain continued to thunder down. It's pouring down now. Small lines in the dirt become raging torrents. People and animals are swept away. Horror gripped the minds of people, and they watched the waters rise, rise, higher and higher. To the hills they fled, but the water chased after them. Higher they climbed, but the enemy was relentless. The realization that the water would never stop rising, not for them, finally set in, and blind panic took control of their minds. There was no longer any room in their minds for regret. Reason was a long ago concept. They climbed a higher ground, climbed taller trees, but there was no escaping. Black Death was here, and they were going to die. As the rains fell, rivers overflowed their banks. The earth far beneath the great oceans broke apart. Tsunamis raced across the great bodies of water. 100 foot, 200 foot, 300 foot waves crashed upon the shores and rushed against the mountains of
water rushing down at inconceivable speeds. Death would arrive in moments. There was no escaping it. The opportunity to escape was long gone. The fields went first, followed by the homes, the tall trees, the hills. Soon the only thing that remained above the water was the tops of the highest mountains, and soon they would be underwater too. And 8 people in a boat. They carried every known kind of animal on that boat. Dogs, cats, cattle, deer, even dinosaurs. They carried birds and insects and amphibians. They carried seeds of every kind, apple and wheat and corn and oats. They carried figs and dates. And in the dark recesses of the boat, where no one wanted to go, they carried the plague, Black Death. A year would go by. The waters would begin to recede. A bird was sent out, then another. All was well at last. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, people were laughing, babies were born. Everything was perfect in this new world, except the plague. It followed the people into this new and unfamiliar land, almost like it was a part of them. Water didn't eradicate the plague. The only thing that could purge it is fire. But even there, it would be stubborn. The fire could never go out, or the plague would spread. And so the fire would have to burn forever. No one could escape it. Not one human existed who wasn't infected with the plague. There's no escaping it. There's no cure. There's no hope. A couple traveled. They carried the plague with them. There were family gatherings, and it was a happy time. Not like we kind of picture it when we read a story. It was a happy time. There were family reunions, and people were seeing each other for the first time in years. They embraced, and laughter filled the towns as people went back for the census. But behind the laughter, something resided. Behind every laugh was a man carrying the plague. Behind each laugh, just beyond conscious thought or reason, death loomed. An inescapable death. The plague. If you got it, you had it, and if you had it, you died. There's no remedy. There's no tetanus shot. There's no way out. Everybody has it. Everybody in this room is infected with it. Everybody. All humanity would suffer from the ravages of the plague. Centuries would go by. Medicine would advance. Knowledge would grow in leaps and bounds, but still no cure for the plague. All that awaited everybody carrying the plague was fire. The sun was climbing. It was early morning. It was just another day. The earth was warming to a new day. No one paid much attention to the 3 people looking down upon them. And suddenly the morning sun began to fade. At first no one noticed. But as it began to get darker and darker, fear set in. Fear once again turned to panic. Day turned into night. The plague had come, and darkness covered the land. Words could be heard in the darkness, cursing, accusing words. But the plague had met its match at last. Roman soldiers lit a torch and gambled for the provisions of the people above them. Blood fell from the sky, or maybe it was from the one hanging in the middle. No one could be sure. No one cared. The Black Plague was relentless. It fought hard. For hours it attacked. Black Death had a name. Sin. But in a moment of time, in the blink of an eye, the plague lost. It still fights. It still infects. But it's lost its power. Though death still awaits millions, there are some, a select few who took the remedy, a few who accepted the cure, a few for whom the plague has no lasting authority over. We call them Christians. The plague's days were numbered when that couple traveled to a small, inconspicuous town to give birth. They carried the plague with them, but the woman also carried the cure for the plague. She wasn't a person of any prominence, wasn't a queen. She was just a willing teenager who loved her God. Like the plague, the cure had a name. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That's what Christmas is all about. I love you guys.